Good morning. Good to see everybody here this morning. As I mentioned, I was making announcements. We do want to speak about our mothers and wish you a very happy Mother's Day today. And the lesson I want to present this morning is entitled, Seven Ways to Love Your Mother. And I want to begin with a passage that's very familiar to all of us. A picture of Jesus in John 19, verses 26 and 27. Jesus was hanging on the cross, and his apostles and his mother and other loved ones were at the foot of the cross. And these were some of his final words. Beginning verse 26, Jesus said, "When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household." You know, I cannot even begin to imagine what it must have been like for Mary to be standing there at the foot of the cross, watching her son, minute by minute, slipping away. Knowing that he was innocent, and yet he was dying for our sins. And it's in this context that Jesus looks down and he turns to John and says, "Take care of my mother. She's now your mother." And you know, I can't help but think that, and we don't have a biblical record of it, but being the fact that we do know John was the disciple whom Jesus loved, that from that day forward, John took care of Mary until she was taken into paradise. It's interesting as we think about Jesus and his love for us. Jesus on the cross bearing the weight of all our sins, yet he sees to it to make sure that his mother is taken care of after he's gone. As God, he is dealing with eternal matters. But as a man, he's showing all of us today how important it is to take care of and love our mothers. Folks, we cannot be willfully wrong with our mother and right with God. If your mother's still alive, regardless of your or her age, you can love her in these seven ways. And I want to give us some things to think about this morning. And I don't have it up on the PowerPoint this morning because I want you to just listen and pay attention. And the points are very simple. So if you do want to write them down, you can. And the first one is love her verbally. Now, I especially want to talk to the men who have philosophy, "Well, I don't have to say I love you. You already know it. Or I have told you before. If I change my mind, I'll let you know," type of attitude. Or, "I show love, not just say it." Now that may be true. But folks, a woman needs to hear the words, "I love you." And especially your mother. The children need to hear it as well. And saying it makes you more of a man, not less of a man. And keep in mind, your spouse needs to hear it too. Dear Abby received a letter from a gentleman. And the letter goes like this. It said, "I enlisted shortly after Pearl Harbor. 36 days later, I was on my way to the Philippines. En route, the Philippines fell to the Japanese, and we were routed to Australia. 11 days after we landed, I met the most beautiful girl in the world. On our first date, I told her I was going to marry her. I did, 18 months later, while on a 10-day R&R leave from New Guinea. After more than 57 years of marriage and two children, my beloved Mary died 5 days before Christmas. Although we agreed that our ashes were to be scattered over the mountains, I found I could not part with hers. While Mary was alive, she would frequently say, "You don't know how much I love you." And I'd reply, "Likewise." I never said, "I love you." Now her ashes are on my dresser, where I tell her several times a day how much I love her. But it's too late. Although I wrote poetry for her and to her, I could not bring myself to say the three words I knew she wanted most to hear. As my dearest was dying, and we thought she was comatose, I told her, "There aren't enough words to tell you how much I love you." A few hours later, she whispered, "Not enough words," and died. The gentleman goes on to say, "The reason I'm writing is to urge men to express their feelings while their loved ones are alive. I don't know why, but many men are reluctant to express the depth of their feelings." Missing Mary in Colorado. Folks, our spouses need to hear it. Our children need to hear it. Our mothers also. Now, some men like to use the excuse, "Well, I'm just not wired that way." Then get rewired. "I'm just not comfortable." Then be uncomfortable. But mothers need to hear, "I love you." Number two, love her physically. When's the last time you gave her a big hug without her having to ask for it? Or a kiss on the cheek, or a neck rub, or just sat on the couch and held her for a change? Remember, she's the first person who ever touched you. She wrapped you up in her womb for 9 months. You came out and her first priority was to hold you. And she cuddled you, stroked your head, rubbed your feet, held your little cheeks against her, gave you a finger to grasp. And in love, she did all these things, including grooming you with a licked thumb. And when you were little, she would say, "Give me sugar." And you'd pucker up and she'd accept your wet, sloppy kisses and even say thank you. You'd give her bear hugs so tight that she didn't even have to hold on to you. Just cling to her as she walked around. She changed your diapers, potty trained you, and held the Kleenex for you to blow your nose in. She wiped food off your face years longer than she should have had to. And she constantly touched you. And she may have had to hand you off to another, and her life may endure some heavy changes. But she deserves your touch and should never have to give up that completely. You see, it would mean more to her than flowers or candy or eating out or even a diamond necklace. Well, maybe that's a little bit too far. But I guarantee you most mothers could care less even about a diamond necklace. They would rather have you. Number three, love her patiently. Mothers have an incredible job without any pay. No position in the business world compares to the physical, emotional, and spiritual commitment that she has in motherhood. I want to share with you a poem. It's called No Occupation. She rises up at the break of day, and through her tasks she races. She cooks the poems as best she may and scrubs the children's faces. While school books, lunches, homework too, all need consideration, and yet the census man insists she has no occupation. When breakfast dishes are all done, she bakes a pudding, maybe. She cleans the rooms up one by one with one eye watching baby. The mending pile she then attacks by way of variation, and yet the census man insists she has no occupation. She irons for a little while, then presses pants for daddy. She welcomes with a cheery smile, returning lass and laddie. A hearty dinner next she cooks, no time for relaxation, and yet the census man insists she has no occupation. Folks, don't ever make the mistake of asking a lady, do you work or stay at home? The only thing worse you can ask her is when she's due, if you're not 100% sure that she's expecting. And many ladies today have to work on top of a full-time job they already have for being a mother. Now, here's the point. In spite of all she does for us, we often become impatient with her. We get so used to her taking care of things, we come to expect it. And we're outraged when those clothes are still dirty. That's not ironed. You're out of my favorite cookies. You know I like that over rice. Where is it? She picks you up after school because you don't like to ride the bus. But you scold her because she's 5 minutes late. Love her patiently because she's tender to your needs. Is no reason to take advantage of her. It's reason to be patient and to love her all the more. And this is to the teens and preteens. It's unfair for you to be more kind, considerate, and patient with your friends and your friends' moms than your own mother. If you treated your friends like you treat your mom, you wouldn't have friends. And if you treated their mom like you do your mom, their mom wouldn't let their kids have anything to do with you. Your mom deserves better. She's not a rug to wipe every negative thought on. And for those of us who are adults who have living mothers, love her patiently. Dobson read on Focus on the Family radio a letter from an 80-year-old woman on her birthday. And this is what she said. She said, to all my children, I suppose my upcoming birthday started my thoughts along these lines. This is a good time to tell you what I truly want are things I can never get enough of. Yet they are free. I want the intangibles. I would like for you to come and sit with me and for you to be relaxed. We can talk or we can be silent. I would just like for us to be together. I need your patience when I don't hear you on the first time. I know how tiresome it is to always be repeating, but sometimes I must ask you to repeat. I need your patience when I think too much about the past, with my slowness and my set ways. I want you to be tolerant with what the years have done to me physically. Please be understanding about my personal care habits. I spill things, I lose things, I get unduly excited when I try to figure out my bank statements. I can't remember what time to take my medication or if I took it already. I take too many naps. Sometimes sleep helps me pass the day. Well, there you have it. Time, patience, and understanding. Those are priceless gifts that I want. Finally, in this letter, the Apostle Paul wrote, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I know I can too. It's a wonderful feeling to know his eye is on the sparrow and I know he cares for me. I guess being old isn't so bad after all. Love, Mom. Number four, love her attentively. Mothers listen to us pour out our hearts. She has a sympathetic ear and always has. And even as an adult, you've grown and gone to her when you want someone who will really listen and understand. And she'll always be on your side. There was a documentary that was done on men who are facing the death penalty. And he interviewed the men and their mothers as well. And invariably the moms would say, "He's such a good boy." And the interviewer said, "But he slaughtered 37 people with an axe." "I know, but he has a good heart." It's no wonder that we like to talk to Mom. She listens. But now she has issues. And now it's your turn to be her rock. Take time to listen. It's payback time. But you say she's always complaining. Yeah, just like you did. She always talks about herself, asks the same questions over and over. Folks, in their older days, our parents had many fears, anxieties. May we treat them as we'd hope to be treated when we're in their shoes. Number five, love her gratefully. An elementary science teacher had her students talking and studying about magnets and how metal objects are attracted to them. And at the end of the semester, the teacher put on the exam this question. Six letters, starts with M, picks up things. What am I? Over half the children wrote, say it together, mother. Is that the truth? Mother. She needs a sincere thank you, and not just one day a year. But from a genuinely thankful heart, when least expected. Number six, love her generously. Folks, there's nothing too good for her. You and I can never repay her. But we ought to try. She didn't spend money on herself unless all your needs were met. She could easily do without. Now it's time for her to have some. What she wants. She clears her schedule so she can run you around. She gives up opportunities so you can have more opportunities. There was a math question, and it says, state your answer as a fraction. If there's 10 at the table and one apple pie, how much does each one get? 1/9. Don't you know your fractions? Do you know my mother? There's that many at the table and only one pie. She doesn't want any. Number seven, love her honorably. Exodus 20, verse 12 says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Now, this is binding as long as your mother lives. Another command says, children, obey your parents, as in the Lord, which becomes non-binding when you leave home. But folks, honor is different. If the husband is the head of the home, then the mother is the heart. Do not break her heart. But you say, my mother wasn't honorable. The Bible says nothing about the qualification. It only asks, is she your mother? And by the way, it's the only one of the Ten Commandments which includes a built-in promise of blessing. And I want to close with it's not really a poem, but kind of a letter from Irma Bombeck. It's entitled, When God Created Mothers. It said, when the good Lord was creating mothers, he was into his sixth day of overtime when the angel appeared and said, you do a lot of fiddling around on this one. And the Lord said, have you read the specs on this order? She has to be completely washable, but not plastic. Have 188 movable parts, all replaceable. Run on black coffee and leftovers. Have a lap that disappears when she stands up. A kiss that can cure anything from a broken leg to a disappointed love affair. And six pairs of hands. The angel shook her head and said, slowly said, six pairs of hands? No way. It's not the hands that are causing me problems. Said the Lord, it's the three pairs of eyes that the mothers have to have. That's on the standard. Excuse me, let me get back here. That's on the standard model? Asked the angel. The Lord nodded. One pair that sees through closed doors when she asks, what are you kids doing in there? When she already really knows. Another here in the back of her head that sees what she shouldn't, but what she has to know. And of course, the ones in the front that can look at a child when he goofs up and say, I understand and I love you, without so much as uttering a word. Lord, said the angel, touching his sleeve gently, come to bed tomorrow. I can't, said the Lord. I'm so close to creating something so close to myself. Already I have one who heals herself when she's sick, can feed a family of six on 1 pound of hamburger, and get a 90-year-old to stand under a shower. The angel circled the model of a mother very slowly. It's too soft, she sighed, but tough, said the Lord excitedly. You cannot imagine what this mother can do or endure. The angel asked, can it think? Not only think, but it can reason and compromise, said the Creator. Finally, the angel bent over and ran her finger across the cheek. There's a leak, she pronounced. I told you, you were trying to put too much into this model. It's not a leak, said the Lord. It's a tear. What's it for? Asked the angel. It's for joy, sadness, disappointment, pain, loneliness, and pride. The Lord replied, you're a genius, said the angel. The Lord looked somber. I didn't put it there, he said. Now, I know that in the Church of Christ we don't clap. But folks, I think Our mothers deserve a round of applause for all they do for us each and every day. Let's close with a prayer. Lord, help us to never be too busy for Mom. If you could take time and great effort for her on the cross in your death, help us to love her while we have her in our life. This morning, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, Troy is going to lead us an invitation song. You know, there's one thing about mothers that wasn't on that list, and you need to know. Your mother wants you to go to heaven more than anything in this world. So take the time to find out what the Lord requires, what His desire is, and do it before it's too late. If we can help you in any way this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing the invitation song?